Greg.
Justin.
Greg.
Hey, I have a question for you, Justin. That last thing you had said before the song about the Olympics.
Should I say it again? So
well, maybe no, it's I was just getting, was that a joke?
It was a joke.
Oh, okay.
Because it's the national anthem.
Yeah, right.
And they just sort of, yeah.
I thought maybe you did that to make me feel better about my jokes.
Yeah, that's why I did it.
Okay.
Nothing could make me feel better about your jokes.
Make me, I said. Well, welcome, everybody. Yeah, so Justin and I talked a little bit, but then you're all here, too, so that's good. Good morning, everybody. I'm Greg, one of the pastors of Jacob's Well, and it's fun to be here with you. Some of you are visiting or new this week, whatever, and welcome. We're glad you're here. We have something for you at the welcome table when we leave, so stop by the table on the right with the blue tablecloth when you're on your way out, but we're just glad to have you here. So we are diving into this series that we call Godflix. Every year, usually during August, sometimes July, but August, we devote it to movies that are in the theater right now. This year, we're doing theater movies that were in the theater a little bit ago, just so that we can already have the DVDs, so that you can go to Redbox or Netflix and watch it, and we can pull the clips easier and stuff like that, but there's still kind of, you know, current movies that are in our mind and in our culture. And I think this one's a real treat. Moneyball, an amazing movie. Some of you didn't watch it, and because you don't know and like baseball very much, and you thought, why am I going to go to that one? And I just have to say, this movie is much more about life than it is about baseball. Baseball is simply the medium. It's an amazing movie. Go rent it, watch it. It's great. And the other thing I have to say is that I am going to tell you exactly how the movie ends, okay?
Okay.
And it doesn't spoil it. This isn't, a fiction. This is historical events. This is a true story. And how it happens simply happened. And it isn't knowing the ending that makes this movie exciting, you know, or not. It's seeing it happen. It is so exciting. In fact, I think the more you know about it, the more you dive into sort of some of the passion, some of the energy of what's happening within the story, the more fun it's going to be to watch it if you go home and rent it and watch it later on. If you've already seen it, too, you're going to have a lot of fun kind of being one step ahead of me as I talk about this. So it's just a great movie. Oh, and by the way, I have to say, there is a little bit of rough language in it. Nothing too bad, but, you know, a few things. So they're kind of understated. Just kind of let those slip by, all right? Right? Okay, good enough. Anyway, so what happens? I want to jump into this because, you know, one of the commitments we have at Jacob's Well is that there really isn't such a difference between secular and sacred. The world has divided those things out and said, you know, these are sacred things, these are secular things, and as we often say here, the last I heard, God made everything. So those are divisions that we make. And sometimes, yeah, as people, we've piled all kinds of stuff and hidden God's creation underneath it all, but all these things speak truth. And this movie really does it as well. So let me tell you, like I said, this is a true story. 2001, end of the season, there's a team, the Oakland A's, American League Baseball, Major League Baseball, American League. They are not the greatest team. They have their head coach, they're not the head coach, their general manager is a man named Billy Bean. He's the one who's played by Brad Pitt in the movie. And he's the general manager. And they make it all the way to the playoffs, but they lose in the playoffs, are eliminated by the New York Yankees. And it's just kind of appalling because the New York Yankees are going into this with a budget for players of $114 million a year, and the Oakland A's have $39 million a year. They're the smallest budget of all Major League Baseball. So, you know, this puts them into that proverbial rock and a hard place. They can't win without good players, but they can't afford good players. So, you know, what are they going to do? So here, I want you to meet Billy Bean, Brad Pitt. He's gathered with all of his scouts, the guys, you know, that go out and find potential players for the upcoming season. And they're trying to grasp the situation. So let's see how this goes.
He's ready to play the part. He just needs to get some playing time.
I'm just saying. His girlfriend is a six at best.
Look, if we're trying to replace Keyonby, this guy could be it.
I agree with you.
Damn, Billy, was that a suggestion?
The guys are just talking. Talking, la 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 la, like this is business as usual. It's not.
We're trying to solve the problem here, Billy.
Not like this. You're not. You're not even looking at the problem.
Well, we're very aware of the problem. I mean...
Okay, good. What's the problem?
Look, Billy, We all understand what the problem is. We have to replace...
Okay, good. What's the problem?
The problem is we have to replace three key players in our lineup.
What's the problem?
Same as it's ever been. We've got to replace these guys with what we have existing.
No, what's the problem, Barry?
We need 38 home runs, 120 RBIs, and 47 doubles to replace.
The problem we're trying to solve is that there are rich teams and there are poor teams. Then there's 50 feet of crap. And then there's us. It's an unfair game. And now we've been gutted, like organ donors for the rich. Boston's taking our kidneys. Yankees taking our heart. And you guys are sitting around talking the same old good body nonsense like we're selling jeans. Like we're looking for Fabio. We got to think differently. We are the last dog at the bowl. You see what happens to the runt of the litter? He dies.
Billy, that's a very touching story and everything, but I think we're all very much aware of what we're facing here. You have a lot of experience and wisdom in this room. Now, you need to have a little bit of faith and let us do the job of replacing Giambi.
Is there another first baseman like Giambi?
No, not really.
No.
And if there was, could we afford him?
No.
Okay. It goes on from there. But so, you know, what do you do? What do you do when you get to an unsolvable problem? Most people do the same thing they've always done, hoping that it will turn out differently. It won't. That, by the way, is Einstein's definition of insanity, doing the same thing and hoping for different results. Other people, they're determined, they work harder, they work faster, they work longer, but they have a tendency to get the same results, except they're more tired than the people who just kept doing what they were doing before. Then there are those people who decide to think differently. They admit that they are up against an unsolvable problem and that it's going to take a different frame of mind, a different way of looking at the world, a different way of understanding their situation to do something about it. Folks, we need to be those kind of people. Life isn't fair. Different reasons than baseball, but the game has been changed. It is no longer the game that God set up to be. The rules, the goals, the expectations are all different. And right now, if you are playing by the rules in life, the rules that have been presented to us, you are going to lose because you are set up to fail. Now, it isn't New York or Boston's fault that you or I are in that situation. It isn't the wealthy or the weird. We like to blame them sometimes. It's not the Republicans. It's not Democrats. It's us. We have all done it. We have redefined life. We've decided it's about stuff that really isn't all that important. Things that look good, things that catch our attention, but that ultimately don't matter. Like money and the stuff that money can buy, or like having the right stuff, or doing the right thing, or knowing the right people. But that isn't what God had in mind when God gave us to each other. When God put us next to each other in the midst of people that we love, God was thinking, you know, how about if you love each other? Care for each other, deal with life together. How about if you just learn, if you try, you fall down and pick each other up, you expand, you be healthy, get over yourself. What if life was about doing those things and that's what you worked on? But to figure that out, for us to get there with life, we've got to think differently. And to think differently, we have to learn to not get distracted by all the stuff that everyone else is doing and saying that life is all about and they think is so important. And you have to learn to see what it is that you really want, not just what you're told you want. Jesus was about that. I mean, he made a career of saying it's not about what you think it's about. He made a career of having a lot of trouble because he believed that way. The Bible constantly gives this message. Here, Paul is talking to this congregation who's really coming from totally out in left field and getting dragged to this new paradigm, and he says, do not be conformed to this world. He said, don't buy everything that the world is telling you, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Learn to see things differently so that you can discern what is the will of God, so that you can see all this stuff that God is up to in our world and where God is trying to lead you and what is good and acceptable and perfect. He's saying so that you can see what works and how it works and why that is. If you look on the backside of your fill-in, you're going to find a few of these things, but there's one fill-in that starts here. It says, we need to learn to think differently. You need to learn to think differently. I need to learn to think differently. We all do. It's a basic thing about us. So I want you to meet Pete Brand, all right? That's the Jonah Hill character in the movie. He is discovered by Billy Beane. He's with the Cleveland Indians organization. He graduated from Yale with an economics degree. He was a baseball nut, and he has these bizarre theories about how baseball should be run. And Billy, but the Cleveland Indians don't get it. They don't see what he's offering them. So he goes and he hires them over to come out to Oakland, and he represents the new idea, the thinking differently that Billy Beane knows he needs to do. And so let's see what he wants to show us to do.
So using this equation on the upper left right here, I'm projecting that we need to win at least 99 games in order to make it to the postseason. We need to score at least 814 runs in order to win those games and allow no more than 645 runs.
What's this?
This is the code that I've written for our year-to-year projections. This is building in all the intelligence that we have to project players.
Okay.
It's about getting things down to one number. Using stats the way we read them, we'll find value in players that nobody else can see. People are overlooked for a variety of biased reasons and perceived flaws. Age, appearance, personality. Bill James and mathematics cut straight through that. Billy, of the 20,000 notable players for us to consider, I believe that there is a championship team of 25 people that we could afford, because everyone else in baseball undervalues them. Like an island of misfit toys. Billy, this is Chad Bradford. He's a relief pitcher. He is one of the most undervalued players in baseball. His defect is that he throws funny. Nobody in the big leagues cares about him because he looks funny. This guy could be not just the best pitcher in our bullpen, but one of the most effective relief pitchers in all of baseball. This guy should cost $3 million a year. We can get him for $237,000.
They call it sabermetrics, or Moneyball. And by the way, every Major League Baseball team in the country now uses it. But it was a radical idea at that time. No one had ever thought about doing it before. And conventional wisdom was getting turned into conventional foolishness at this moment. And so this is how the A's are going to be thinking differently. And Pete took his concept and he analyzed thousands of players to find, like he said, the championship team that they could afford because no one else was interested in those players for some random reason. And they took this to the scouts, and while you can maybe imagine how it pulls out, take a look at this.
.38 home runs and 120 RBIs.
Guys, you're still trying to replace Giambi. I told you we can't do it. And we can't do it. Now, what we might be able to do is recreate him. Recreate him in the aggregate.
The what?
Giambi's on base percentage was .477. Damon's on base, .324. And Almeida's was .291. Add that up and you get...
Do you want me to speak?
What not point of you yet?
1092.
Divided by three.
It's 364.
That's what we're looking for. Three ball players whose average OBP is...
364.
That doesn't look right. Doesn't come out right.
That's right, Artie.
Billy?
You got to carry the one, right?
Billy.
That's his name. Yeah.
Who's that?
That's Pete.
Does Pete really need to be here?
Yes, he does. Okay, here's who we want. Number one, Jason's little brother, Jeremy.
Billy, that's trouble.
Billy, look, if I may, he certainly has had his problems off the field, and we know what he can't do on the field.
He's getting a little thick around the waist. Yeah.
You know, and his reports about him on the weed and the strip clubs.
Well, his on-base percentage is all we're looking at now. And Jeremy gets on base an awful lot for a guy who only costs $285,000.
Jeez, Billy.
Number two,
David Justice.
Oh, no.
Not a good idea, Billy.
Old man Justice?
Why is that?
Steinbrenner's so pissed at his decline that he's willing to eat a big chunk of his contract just to get rid of him. Anybody?
Exactly.
10 years ago, David Justice, big name. Been a lot of big games. He's going to really help our season tickets early in the year, but we get in the dog days in July and August. He's lucky if he's going to hit his weight.
Billy, his legs are gone.
Billy.
He's a defensive liability, and I question whether the bat speed's still there.
His legs are gone.
Grady.
We'll be lucky to get 60 games out of him. Why do you like him?
Because he gets on base.
What is this?
What are we doing?
Okay, number three. It's like this gets on base idea is a new idea. I mean, why would you want players to do that? You know, why would that be so important? Well, you know, there are other things. Yeah, like what? Like what? If you want to get to the end of the series and win it, you need to win games. And if you're going to win games, what do you need to do? You need to get people on base. Billy Beane is so clear, so incredibly clear about what he wants to accomplish. Baseball is about winning the last game of the season, the World Series, winning the World Series, not just being in it. And to get there, you have to win games. And to win games, you have to get on base. OBP, on base percentage. That's what it's all about. Hits, walks, hit by ball, doesn't matter. You get on base with any of them. If you can get on base, that's the person he wants. And that's the only number that matters. And surprisingly, other people don't seem to be so clear about that. Now, okay, baseball, what about you? Are you clear? What is it all about for you? And what is the best indicator that you are on track for what is most important for you? If you look on the back of your Sunday paper, I don't even have mine up here with me, you're going to see two boxes on there. One of them says, my World Series is, and the other one says, my OBP, my on-base percentage is. I want you to take those, and I want you to fill those out this week. What is the World Series to you? What is the ultimate goal? What do you want your life about? It is more important than anything else. You'll notice that the box is really little. I'm not going to give you room to ramble on this. That's hard. But I want you to force yourself to be succinct about it and to come up with one thing. One thing that is more important than all the others. Yeah, there's a lot of other important things, but they all fall under that one thing. What is the most important thing for you? And then that's your World Series. And then what is your on-base percentage? What is it that lets you know that you are doing things that are going to get you to that most important thing in your life? Try to fill those out for mine. Okay, yeah, it's only fair. What's mine? My World Series is leading journeys of discovery. My life, what I want to be about, and what's more important for me than anything else, is helping people discover stuff that they need to find out. Helping people breakthroughs and uncovering things that they didn't know was there before. That's what it's about for me. And it doesn't matter whether it's my family, my friends, with my job. My OBP, my on-base percentage, is my MFTT. Meaningful, meaning-filled time together. I only am able to lead journeys of discovery if I have meaning-filled time with people. So that becomes what I'm all about. You know, Greg, why did you become a pastor? It isn't going to get your head because it gets me on base. It gives me MFTT, meaning-filled time together with people where we get to talk about stuff that actually matters, where we get to encounter things that break open some of our facades and make us look at life and the world the way it really is. Well, what do you want to do for your family? Make a lot of money, have a really, you know, nice house, make sure they get all the newest stuff? My response, well, do those things allow me to have my MFTT? If so, great, bring it on. If it doesn't, then I've got more important things to spend my time with. What are those times? I mean, are you going to have the best meaning-filled time together with people if you go on these exotic vacations and you go to fancy restaurants? You know, I don't really care. If those do it, that's fine. But if I can do it, taking the garbage out or washing the dishes or driving them to, you know, the next soccer game or something, that's fine with me. Wherever gives me MFTT. That's what it's about. That's what I'll choose every time. Now, I got to tell you the truth, and I really have to tell you the truth because my family's actually here, that I'm not always so good at that. I mean, I get off focus. I forget, and I chase all kinds of other things. And I'll be the first one to admit that while I know that, I mean, it's just helpful that I know it so I can at least call myself back to it. And that's why there's such a thing as forgiveness in this process that we're about, and second chances. And by the way, forgiveness experiences give you really good MFTT opportunities. So, you know, that's kind of a win-win there, too. So, you know, figure yours out. Spend some time with it, all right? Work that out. Now, I want you to know, think back. Remember the response. How excited his scouts were to hear about this new way that he was, that Billy Beane was going to be picking his team. You know, they are the bastion of baseball as it has always been. And so, you know, there's no real love thing. I love that little conversation between Grady, the head scout, and Billy Beane. It says, Billy, who's that? That's Pete. Does Pete really need to be here? Yes, he does. Just that. So a lot of excitement there. You know, and it's wonderful to have this new vision. It's wonderful to know all these new ways of doing things, having this fresh and hopeful look. The problem is that these good ideas that you and I have, they often don't work. At least not at first. Has that ever happened to you? Like you were suddenly so clear about what you're supposed to do and how you're supposed to do it, and it falls flat for you? Well, the A's quickly dove to the bottom of the cellar of the American League West, and Billy got crucified for it. Let's see this.
All right, we got Grady Fuse on the line, former head of scouting with the Oakland Athletics. And Grady, can you interpret for us what's going on?
They call it Moneyball.
Moneyball.
Yes, and it was a nice theory, and now it's just not working out.
Billy Beane has built this team on the ideas of a guy named Bill James.
Right.
Who wrote an interesting book on baseball statistics. The problem is that Bill James never played, never managed. He was, in fact, a security guard at a pork and beans company.
You see this as a decimation of the whole organization?
I think that he bought a ticket on the Titanic.
Oh, boy.
He's tried to come up with a new approach. My hat's off to him. It won't work.
And why doesn't it work? Because of this man, Art Howe. Howe is a manager. He's basically the one who, he's the one who decides what to do with the players that Billy Beane brings to the organization. And you can see by his body language that he's a very open, excited about new ideas kind of guy, you know? He does not like what Billy is doing, all right? So he lets Billy bring these players in, and guess what he does? He leaves them on the bench. He's got enough of a remnant of a team that he insists on playing baseball the old-fashioned way, the way it should work, and then it doesn't work, and it falls apart. And, of course, who gets blamed for their failure? Well, it's not Art. I mean, he's trying to do the best he can with his harebrained team that Billy Beane and Pete are putting together for him, and that's it. So the question is, you know, we all have Art Howes in our lives. I don't know who yours is. It really doesn't matter. It's not a blame game. This is just the way it happens, and it's really not Art's fault either. It's just when we bring the way the world normally works and put it against the way the world could work, things fall apart. When life as usual is confronted with life the way God sees it could be, things just shut down. Too many people have stuff invested in the status quo of how things are going, and the world just doesn't change simply because you want it to. All right, it's going to take a lot more than that. So this is the next thing. This is on your outlines, too. Expect opposition. You know, you have this great idea, and you're going to plunge away with it, and you really believe in it, and you're going to go for it. Expect opposition. It isn't bad people. It's just they're not where you are. They're still working on the world that they thought might have worked. And that's how it happens. And so you discover that you are right where Billy Beane was, caught in the middle. Before, when he started out, he was caught between having a team that can't play and not being able to afford a team again. And now he realizes he's caught in a new place. He's caught between the way that baseball used to work and the people that are stopping him from being able to play the way baseball could work. And it is a movie, all right? In movies, there's always some subplot going on that tells us a lot more about everything. And it's usually a love interest. This time, it's a little variation of that. It's not a girlfriend or a wife. It's his daughter. Billy had been divorced from his wife, Sharon. His daughter is about 13-year-old. Her name is Casey. Mostly lives with Sharon, but once in a while, she's able to spend time with Dad. And somehow, she's able to bring to him and to us maybe what this movie is really all about. Let's take a look.
Oh, I like this one.
Yeah?
Look how it's red.
It's beautiful.
This one's pretty.
Let's try it out.
Just right
to go over there?
Sing.
It's so good.
It's beautiful.
Sometimes I sing. It's fun to sing with your song, but I don't want people to listen to me.
Oh, well, honey, I think people would love to listen to you. That's beautiful. Would you sing a little for your dad? Right here in the middle of the store?
A little bit.
A little bit.
Ready?
I'm ready.
I'm just a little bit caught in the middle. Life is a maze and love is a riddle. I don't know where to go, can't do it alone. I've tried and I don't know why. I'm just a little girl lost in the moment. I'm so scared, but I don't show it. I can't figure it out. It's bringing me down, I know. I've got to let it go and just enjoy the show.
Wow. You know, these changes that we're part of, these things that we know need to happen and don't, these hopes, these dreams, these opportunities and disappointments, these heartbreaks, they hurt. They aren't just ideas. These are your life and my life. And we actually have to get through them. And we need to probably do them together. I don't know what it is. You know, is it your family? It's your marriage, your job. It's your future, your education, all these things. It's so real. And folks, caught in the middle isn't an exception, isn't something that happens once in a while. It's what happens almost every time we try to think differently. If you don't think it happens most of the time, it's you've either lost your dreams and forgotten them, or otherwise you have worked so hard and invested so much energy in making the world reflect that vision that you have that you've kind of forgotten how much you went through to get where you are right now. Kind of like a mom 8 years later, you ask her, you know, how was childbirth? And she says, it wasn't so bad. Yeah, it's a lie. It was. Now it looks differently. So what does that say? It says we need to be persistent. We are faced with a choice, not whether our idea was good or not, but the choice is, will you be persistent? Will you keep going even when the times get tough? And when Billy Beane realized that Art was never going to play the team the way that they had designed it to be, because he still had some remnants of conventional wisdom there that he could hold on to, Billy Beane had one choice, and that was to take those last remnants away from him so that there was nothing he could do but play the team the way he wants. So he gets on the phone with the other general managers of teams across the country and gets rid of everybody. Watch this.
It's on two.
Ed?
Hello?
Ed, it's Billy.
Billy, what's up?
Look, I need a little help on defense.
Okay.
I'm willing to trade Jeremy Giambi for it.
Really?
What?
Mm-hmm. Who you got?
Well, let me think.
What are you doing?
Cleaning house.
Mabry?
Maybe what?
No, Mabry.
Hold on.
No.
Why not?
Because you can't trade Jeremy Giambi.
He'll be fine, Ed.
Now, where do I get the feeling you're picking my pocket?
Not picking your pocket, you're picking mine. Giambi's name alone is worth more than
mine. What's wrong with him, Billy?
There's nothing wrong with him. Now, can we say it's done in theory and start drawing up the paperwork?
Okay.
Great.
But you're going to have to...
I think he was going to say something else.
When you get the answer you're looking for, hang up. Suzanne?
Yes?
David Dombrowski.
Okay.
And Pena's going too.
I don't think you should do that. I really don't think you should do that.
I want Hatterberg in the lineup tonight.
Billy, I think you need to take a minute. I think you seriously need to just think about what you're doing because you're upset.
Okay. What am I missing?
These are hard moves to explain to people.
Why is that a problem, Pete?
Don't make an emotional decision, Billy.
David Dombrowski's on three.
Look, we're going to shake things up. Dave, Penny's going on the block. You're my first call. Because he's making the rest of the team look bad. He's going to be a rookie of the year, you know.
Probably an all-star.
He's an all-star, Dave. No, I want a reliever in cash. Okay. You got 5 minutes, Dave. I'm not waiting.
Billy, Pena is an all-star, okay? And if you dump him and this Hatterberg thing doesn't work out the way that we want it to, you know this is the kind of decision that gets you fired. It is.
Yes, you're right. I may lose my job. In which case, I'm a 44-year-old guy with a high school diploma and a daughter I'd like to be able to send to college. You're 25 years old, with a degree from Yale and a pretty impressive apprenticeship. I don't think we're asking the right question. I think the question we should be asking is, do you believe in this thing or not?
I do.
Do you believe in this thing or not? Do you believe in this God thing or not? Because if you don't, you know, I'd suggest getting up right now and finding something better to do with your time. But if there is something inside you that says, I can't leave this alone, despite the fact that it doesn't quite all make sense, I don't understand it all, it's really beyond proving anything, but nonetheless, I feel from the core of my being that where this is leading me is a life that is really life, then what are you waiting for? Why are you worrying about explaining it to anybody else? Why are you not making everything about your life conform to your OBP right now? Paul writes again. He's trying to coach these people that are trying to figure it out what it means to not only acknowledge that Jesus was kind of a cool guy, but actually say, I'm going to follow him with my whole life. And he says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of Christ Jesus. I press on for this call that's taking me someplace that I'm not right now, this upward call. Let us, therefore, as many of us that are as mature, as many of us who have had some insight and have had some awakenings, have this perspective to see this world differently. And if anything you are, and if in anything you are of a different mind, God is going to reveal that to you as well. You're going to understand it more and more fully as time goes by. So let us hold fast to what we have already attained. Don't let go of the progress you've made. Don't give up just because it got tough, because you found opposition, because it's going to require more persistence than you thought you had in you. Don't let go. You really need to see this next part, how Art Howe, the manager, responds to finding out that night that all of the players he wants to put in are no longer on the team as of like 3 o'clock that afternoon. I'll let you watch that yourself. But do see what happens when the change happens. And remember, this is history. This is not Hollywood. Go ahead.
12 straight wins for the Athletics. Man alive, was it Harry?
Something strange is now happening at Oakland. You cannot argue the point
straight,
right now.
We
can
12 in a row and making a joke out of the American League. They were in Detroit today. And just he throws to first, and that's the sound of 14 straight victories.
14 straight, the longest run in the bigs this year. It has slingshot the A's into first in the AL West. It's a nice
This team was written off. How do you explain otherwise? How do you explain otherwise some of the victories that they've come up with?
The Oakland Days are going to win 16 consecutive games. This is the longest win streak in baseball, folks, in 25 years. The A's have won 16 in a row.
We're going to 20. We're going to 20.
Look, have a winning streak of anything like this duration, you have to be good, but there's an element of randomness to it. The 1927 Yankees, Ruth, Gehrig, Murderers Row, some people still say the best team ever. Longest winning streak for them that year, 9.
You guys try to analyze it from a number standpoint, and I'm telling you, there is no explanation for what's occurring right now. It's bigger than
us. A whole bunch of superstitions going on that you have to do the same things.
Hope I'm not jinxing it, but the all-time record of 20 does not seem impossible anymore.
Today's we're on page 1 of the New York Times.
Okay, you know, it is amazing what happens when someone gets a glimpse of the kingdom of God, the way life could be, and not how it always is, and they actually start beginning to live in according to it. So you need to watch the whole thing, but they do make it to game 20, okay? The longest winning streak that's ever been seen in the American League, in history. And the other thing you need to know is baseball is the most superstitious sport anyone could ever imagine, and Billy Bean is no exception, and one of his quirks is he never, ever, ever goes to any of the games. He doesn't watch them play. All right? So he's on his, well, you'll see.
Casey wants to talk to you. Hang on.
Hey, are you on your way to the stadium?
No, I'm on my way to Visalia to see our minor league team.
Turn around, please, Dad.
No way, Jose.
Turn around.
Nope.
Come on, Dad.
Not gonna happen.
You're not gonna jinx it.
I'll talk to you later, sweetheart. I love you.
One out here in the fourth, and if you're just joining us, you miss a lot. And the pitch to Raul Banez, strike one.
I think my recap will be simple. The A's scored six in the first, one in the second, and four in the third.
And people would be shocked if you just did that. 11 to nothing, the A's do lead. Foul off the foot of Banez, 0-2.
As soon as he shows up, the game starts falling apart. Kansas City starts scoring runs. We're going to, unless you're all here till 2 o'clock, we'll fast forward to the ninth inning. Okay, it's from 11 to nothing. It is now 11 to 10. Let's try it again.
It is roaring. Koch is ready. 1-2 pitch. Alessia puts it in play, a loop for the left field, it's in for a base hit, around third, carrying for the plate, here comes a tying run, sliding save, and the ball game is tied at 11 all. Holy Toledo. The A's have blown an 11 to nothing lead.
Thank you.
consecutive games.
Okay. Well, happy ending, yeah, but it's not a fairy tale. It's real life, and things aren't quite as great as you want. They won 20 in a row. It's a record that still stands. But they don't make it to the World Series. They get to the first round of playoffs, and guess who eliminates them? That really evil team, the Minnesota Twins. I mean, first time, you're like, I wish, how come we let someone else, or how come we won? Anyway, but, you know, and so Billy, after all, you know, what is it all about for him? It was about the World Series, the winning the last game of the season. It's also about changing the game, and he feels like he didn't do it. I mean, maybe we feel that way. I mean, it doesn't go. You got some victories, some things go the right way, but it doesn't all happen. And sometimes we need to be taught that some things do happen.